Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Queen should be producing the soundtrack for this administration, the Trump administration, because another one bites the dust. Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, has been fired this week via tweet. He didn't even know about it until it actually hit the president's Twitter feed. Ed, what's going on?
Well, of course, you know they weren't together at all. And between Christmas and, let's say, the end of February, Tillerson did something. He started acting like a Secretary of State. He started doing things that were important to the world and to the nation. And then he put his team on North Korea. And Tillerson's team visited all the important nations around Korea, got very close to Korea and the KIA, which is the Korean intelligence agencies, and then brought about what we see today in those talks. Donald Trump could not allow Tillerson to take credit for this. He had to take credit for everything. And he'd been simmering for a long time about Tillerson calling him an idiot. So he's going to push him off the stage, step on the stage, and take credit for everything that was going on. Now, you don't have to be very clever to figure out that this was not just by accident that these meetings were being put together. They're through very clever diplomatic work. But Trump doesn't know anything about this. He doesn't read his evening briefings and the like. Tillerson was making the State Department a very strong agency, and that's not something he could stand, so he got rid of him. What are the consequences? Tillerson is respected around the world. Tillerson ran one of the largest companies in the world. Tillerson's highly respected among the real Republican Party. He will come back after Trump in some big, vicious way. And it may be through Mueller.
Personal aide to Trump, Johnny McEntee, was also denied security clearance and fired this week, I understand, although rumors abound he's still slated to work on Trump's 2020 campaign. I guess the real question is, though, who's next?
He just had an investigation going on about some of his financial dealings, and Kelly is trying to assert himself in the White House. It is the worst place on the planet to work. You don't know who's going to get you. Will it be Trump? Will it be Kelly? Will it be somebody else? You just can't tell. So who's next? First of all, Jared Kushner is really out. He's pretending like he has a job. It's like one of those movies where the guy goes out every day, goes to the bar and tells his wife he has a great job. He has no job. Next, Sessions is definitely on the list to go down and get out of town. And then Kelly. And after that, he moves on Mueller. So that is the game of play. There's something here that you have to understand, and that is he knows he's losing. He's only trying to keep his base because he's on a losing agenda. And if he's going to go down, he's going to go down with his team, not without them. And he's going to take everything he can with him, including as much money and as much prestige and as much capacity to fight when he gets on the other side. And that may be soon.
Something that broke last week right after you and I spoke, Ed, that's the problem, I guess, with this administration. Every time you think you've got a handle on the situation, they drop another bombshell. It's very inconsiderate, really. Regardless, Trump has claimed he's going to sit down with a face-to-face, tete-a-tete with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Thoughts?
That may happen. If he sits down, it's because of the work that Tillerson and his team did. It is not because of what Donald Trump did. So my anticipation is that there will probably be a meeting. It will not have the support of the allies you'd want to have on board from Europe. We've lost almost all of them. Kim Il-sung is in the driver's seat here. If he makes a deal with Korea, South Korea, and the two Koreas come together in any kind of confederacy, they now have an atomic bomb and a great economy. His people get fed, and he can still put pressure on the rest of the world. So this is one of those deals where you got to make it, but it may not be good. And until the two Koreas are really integrated, it's a very scary thing.
I mean, some people think it'll be crazy enough to work. I mean, you know, Trump claims he's this great deal maker, and only he can make a deal. But other administrations have made deals with North Korea. It's kind of getting them to stick to their side of that deal that kind of, that's where the trouble starts.
Well, I think the deal is different this time, in that the two Koreas have something in common, and you haven't got a weak one and a strong one. Before, deals fall apart when you have one weak party. Now, North Korea is a strong party. South Korea is a strong party. So I think a deal here, and it looks to me like the deal's going to be, you have the military, we have the economy, let's share it in a confederacy, not in a union.
Another huge story this week, the Pennsylvania special election. This was a region Trump won by, I believe, almost 20 points in 2016, and yet it seems Democrat Conor Lamb has come away with an unthinkable upset. Trump campaigned for the Republican in this seat. This is another big defeat. Thoughts?
This is the awakening of the lambs. The lambs, the people that Trump was leading to slaughter, all of a sudden turned on him, and the steel workers are not buying the trade agreement. The average housewife is not seeing anything in this great tax deal. People are losing their medical care. So Trump is vulnerable in every direction. And the middle class and the lower class are rising up against him. And the women and the blacks will firm that. It very looks very much like, to me, about 20 Republicans will resign from their seats and not run. The Democrats only need 24 seats. And there are another several seats, something like 24 or 25 seats, where Hillary was a winner by over 15% that have Republicans sitting in them. The Republicans are going to be looking for the exits very soon. And when that happens, it's going to be like a landslide or an avalanche. And the Democrats can come in big. The Republicans have lost their spirit and their soul and their direction.
Now, speaking of sort of related matters to this, onto Russia, the Republican House Intelligence Committee has released their report this week, finding no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Just how strong is your faith in the Republican Party's approach to this kind of fact-finding right now, Ed?
Well, it's not any good at all. They didn't use any evidence to come to that conclusion. They came to it on their own. I think the Democrats are delighted they did, because shutting this down now shuts out an avenue for Trump to claim that there's no collusion. And he stopped making that claim. He stopped making a claim that the Russians didn't interfere with the election. The last sanctions, the one declared today, mentioned the Russians participated in the U.S. elections and undermining the credibility of those elections. Trump has not said a word about this. The Russians have to strike back, and they will. And the way they will strike back is throwing Trump under the bus.
Well, speaking of the Russians, the poisoning of a Russian double agent in the UK has made some global diplomatic shockwaves this week. Russian diplomats have been booted from the UK, and the US has been one of several nations to say Putin has some explaining to do. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, Putin doesn't think he has anything to do except strike back, and he will. And the soft underbelly of the United States is Donald Trump. And I would not be surprised if Putin started rolling out information that showed that the Trump team was knowledgeable about what was going on in the election and did participate. And they will start giving plenty of information about Trump's financial dealings. Mueller doesn't have to investigate anymore after this. I really believe the Russians are now so mad at the United States and at Trump that they're going to throw him really under the bus. And that will be his swan song. He will be gone because the Russians now have turned on him.
And just finally, Ed, gun control. Following the Parkland school shooting, one in a long list of school shootings in the U.S., kids this week have walked out of classes in a mass protest lasting 17 minutes, 1 minute for each life lost in the Parkland shooting. You've got to admire the spirit. Are we going to see any political movement on this issue, though?
We may not see any political movement on the issue, but those kids are going to be around in November. They will be around in every district where the NRA spokesperson is a Republican and campaigning against them. They'll dog their trails. This is a wonderful thing. It brings back, in my mind, the civil rights movement, where young people had a cause. The cause is here, and they're going to be heard. Connor Lamb is only 33 years old, a real millennial. So I think that kind of voice resonates with these young people. We're going to see a lot of young people running for office, many of them on the Democratic side, not Democrats in the old school, but in the new school, where they're running on issues like this. So I think this means a lot to American democracy, because for a while there, I thought young people had given up on it. But unfortunately, it took Parkland to get them back. And I think these young people are going to be around for a very long time deciding elections.
Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.